cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
It's such a great honor to be here. I'm so excited to be here. Last week we spoke about how, when looking at Psalm 68, how God is the father to the fatherless. And so please, I want us to really connect quickly. Amen. Like, the message will not be sweet 20 minutes later. If you don't enjoy it early, you'll miss it. Are you together with me? So don't think it might not peak. It might just be dry from the beginning to the whole end. So you have better make the best use of your pastor has already done the mistake already. He has brought me already. So let's make the best use of the mistake. Is that okay? So he's the father to the fatherless, and he's also the judge to the widows. And the next thing he does is that he puts them he puts the solitary in families. And the reason for that is so that those who have been held bound can begin to break into prosperity. And it also told us that the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. You understand that? The rebellious will dwell in a dry land. And the context of being rebellious is when you hate family. You see, because the rebellious is the one that is stubborn. The rebellious is the one that retains only his opinion. Are we together here? And so we will take it a step further. We will look at, I plan to end the conversation in 3 John, but let's look at Psalm 133, where the Bible says that, behold how good and how pleasant it is. We trust God to give us understanding in the name of Jesus. For those of you who were here, you can see that today I'm looking like a genuine man of God. And the protocol man respected me today. He did not insult me like last week. So I decided, and I've warned my protocol guy to also reduce his dressing. So he reduced his own, I increased my own, so that there will not be mistake. So that today they will not go and all the juice they are meant to give me, they will not go and give him. So today I collected his clothes, he collected my own, and we are good. And so how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. So the brethren dwell together. The challenge we are having in our times is that we don't dwell. What we do is that we attend. A lot of us are used to attending church. But church is not for attendance, it's for belonging. Are we together here? And it's the spirit of Lagos. Because the spirit of Lagos is the spirit of commerce. And the spirit of commerce is the spirit of personal gain. So it's not general gain. You see, but the premise of the church is not hinged on capitalism. And so when you see Lagos, there is a sense of business. And so even church members have the spirit of business. So everybody is a businessman in their blood. And so the day a church does not pay you, you go to another one. You see, because you are still serving yourself. Are we together here? You are still what? You are still serving yourself. But the Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. We still do not understand what church is many times. And that's why one of the easiest decisions to take is the decision to exit a church. It's so easy for us because we don't know what church is. A lot of you are from you are from homes that you are praying to God that, I mean biologically, You are praying. In fact, some of you are afraid to marry because of the kind of home you came out from. But since all these years, as irresponsible as your home is, you have not dropped your resignation letter. Are we together here? On your wedding day, you will package your daddy as if he has taken care of you from day one. You package him. And everybody would think it's a jolly good family, not knowing that in the midnight before that wedding, in the morning, it was fight. Are we together here? We never write a letter. Praise God. To say this home is irresponsible. I don't know the kind of mother this mother is. I don't know the kind of brothers you people are, but I've never seen the kind of brothers as you people. You people are useless brothers and sisters. I want you to know that I am now renouncing my membership in this home, and I've gone to the next flat. I'm no more Adegoke. I am now Bola Chukuka, because I've joined the Mr. and Mrs. Chukuka. They are a better family. Praise God. Because we don't really understand what it is. And that's why we are not as blessed as we should be. We don't really understand. Praise God. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. So you must have deliver yourself from the spirit of enterprise. And understand that it's a family that God is intending to build. And family business is very dirty business. Yeah. Yeah. Family is not. Family can never be perfect. Family can what? Can never be perfect. And family is so important that even our Savior, when he died for us and gave us a church, he also is part of the family. And he said, I am not ashamed to call them brethren. Meaning that was a decision. Because if it was not a decision, why would he have to say he's not ashamed to call us brethren? If not that there's shame there. Have you ever introduced your brother and said, I'm not ashamed to call him my brother? If you ever say that, it means there's a reason to be ashamed. Maybe you have your brother is a madman. And you tell the world, he's my brother. I'm not ashamed to call him my brother. I'm not ashamed. That's what Jesus, he looked at us. He joined himself to us. I said, family business is the business where you bone the shame. You bone the shame. Any perfect church is a church that does not operate as a family, but operates as a business. Because in business, we don't see the imperfection. But in family, the imperfection is clear. In business, for example, when we're entering here, somebody will be in front, who will stand as if he's not angry. He'll say, you're welcome. You're welcome to some of those services. What can I do for you? How may I help you? That woman that is talking to you like that may have just slapped her husband before coming to that office. But in business, we have to create a face. And that is what we have been doing, even in our churches. We create something to look perfect. And that's why there is no impartation as it should be. Now, a lot of you have an assumption that impartation happens during preaching. No. When we operate as a family, impartation happens just by sitting beside one another. Yeah. Now, you know that, even naturally speaking, have you caught yourself laughing like your friend before? You were laughing and you know that this is not how you used to laugh normally. That your friend's laughter has now rubbed off on you. And you didn't go to the school on learning how to laugh like him. Just by relating with your friend freely, you started laughing like him. I have a friend, when he wants to laugh, he will be hitting his head. He laughs as if he's mocking everybody. That's how my friend laughs, K-Spirit. And sometimes I catch myself laughing like that. I say, what kind of useless laughter is this? This is not how people who are going to heaven laugh. When there is family kind of engagement, impartation becomes natural. We don't need to wind the service. The service doesn't have to be impartation service. All of the services will be impartation service. Are we together here? So, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, if you are Satan, let's just assume, just take a role and be Satan for a minute. If you are Satan, what will you do? You will make sure that brethren do not dwell together in unity. In fact, I don't like using the word brethren. I prefer to use the word brothers than brethren, because brethren is a fake kind of, is a language, because none of you go home and call your biological brother brethren. Say, hey, my brethren, Shola, my brethren. We never do that. You know, when we get to church, there's a way we greet ourselves. The way this man greeted me, let's greet. I say, you're welcome, sir. Oh, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. God bless you. When you see, I say, oh, bless you, bless you. But when you get home, you say, hey, buddy, we have her. Now, that is the real brotherhood. The one you did here is fake. The one you do at home is the real one. The one you do here is fake. It is a lie. So bless you, bless you. I bless you, bless you. I'm so happy to see you. Bless you. Oh, paro, iro eti poju, iro eti poju. It's fake. You can see that man of God. You can see that. He's old Tomini. He's trying to prove that he's a deceiver. Are we here, friends? The enemy will try to fight this. The Bible says that by this shall men know that you are my disciples. I tell people, it says, by this shall men know you are my disciples when you love one another. The revival that will precede the coming of Jesus is not on crusade ground. It's the love that we share. It says the most perfect scenario that will make people know Jesus sent us. What will reveal Jesus mostly is not miracles. Now, friends, if it was miracles, nobody would doubt Jesus again, no. Because miracles have happened, though, and they are still happening. He says, what will make people not doubt that Jesus sent us is the love that we share. Do you know how many of you sit down beside people you don't even know their names? For years, you don't even know the person you are, the name. Ah, good afternoon, sir. As if it's a bank. Can I borrow your pen? Can I borrow? Please return it to please. Sir, I'll return it. That's the exact way we act in church. As if you go to bank, you want to feed teller. Say, please, can I? Hey, I didn't bring my. Pen that you know you did not bring. You are deceiving yourself. Can I borrow your pen? You don't know the person sitting beside you. How will it flow? How will it flow? How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The next verse now explains some things to us. It says, when that happens, when there is unity, it now began to describe what is actually happening. He says, it is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. Let me explain that. Now, it's not saying that when we dwell together in unity, that it can lead to this. not saying what he's saying. He's saying when you dwell together in unity, this is what is happening. That our unity provokes oil. That immediately we dwell together in unity, if you check the backdrop, the spiritual description of what is happening, is like oil. One, two, the priesthood is automatically activated. Now, in the New Testament, the priesthood is not activated by the pastor. It's not the pastor that expresses priesthood. The priesthood is in the midst of the people. It's not the pastor. The priesthood is in our midst. He says that immediately you are together, priesthood happens. He says, when two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there in your midst. So in the New Testament, priesthood is not hinged on a person. It's activated in the people. So it says automatically when there is unity, there will be oil. Are we here, friends? You know, the Bible says we should pursue peace. It says pursue peace with all men. And without holiness, no man shall what? No man shall see the Lord. You pursue it. We strive for it. You need to fight your friend. You need to fight him to make sure you people don't fight. Like, Oga, we can't fight. We can't fight. That's what it means to pursue peace. John told us that when you are lifting up your hand or you want to give God sacrifice and you remember that your brother is not happy with you, he says you bring the hand down. The person you are sitting beside, you are not talking. I say, handle of feminine kin emotion, a brandle of miscore. The person you yourself are not talking. You think God will be moved? I say, Kai, this guy is in third heaven. The greatest worship you will do at that time is to drop your hand and settle. See, when there is unity, the preacher does not have to preach anything special. Anything he says, we spark. The reason why we always need a big man of God to do something big is because there is no unity. We need to perform. The reason why the pastor has to know Greek and know Hebrew and all of that is that he needs to impress the people. But you see, our unity should be impressive enough. It means that sometimes you are coming to church not because of what you want to hear. It's even because who you want to hug. I tell you the truth. Sometimes you are just coming because there's somebody you must see. Somebody you must just hug. Somebody you must love on. And that is extremely powerful. So it's like oil. He also says, so there is oil, there is priesthood. And he says it flows down to the skirts of his garment. It means everybody is covered. Everybody is covered. Everybody is covered. Everybody is cared for. See, welfare units cannot take care of everybody. But everybody can take care of everybody. Everybody can take care of welfare units cannot take care of everybody. Pastor cannot take care of everybody. And pastors have favorites, even though they say they don't have. Pastors have, they say they have. Every human being has favorites. If you are making me sad, will I make you my favorite? The person making my work easy, that will be my favorite. I'll behave as if it's not my favorite, but it's my favorite. You don't like that one. If you are angry that pastor has favorite, you too, go and find out the person who is the favorite, what is the person doing right, so that I can also be favor right. But you see, whether a pastor's favorite or not, you should be cared for before you even get to the pastor. And the point is, when we are united, Are we together, friends? Now, finally, let me just show you one more scripture. You know, today I just want to say the things that I believe the Lord will have me say. I want to show us a scripture we always like to quote. It's in the book of 3 John. The Bible says, the elder praise God. Hallelujah. The elder unto the beloved girls whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Amen. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we love this scripture. Say, I wish above all things. The Lord, oh God, you said you wish above all things that I should prosper. If so, therefore I prosper. It's a lie. It's not God that said it. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's not God that said it. It's a big lie. God did not tell you that he wish above all things that you prosper. God will ask you when that says. He says, touch your God. Will say, is my name John? You see, you need to understand the context of a letter so that you can fix yourself into that context. Does God wish that you prosper and be in good health? Yes. But he said it in the context of 3 John. It was the elder John talking about his son, Gaius. And the word wish is such a powerful word. It is a prayer that has emotion involved. 3 John was saying that if nobody prospers in this life, this guy called Gaius, Uluwa, I wish above all things that this guy, question, who have you treated in a way that the person is wishing that you prosper? So it's not a scripture to confess. It's a scenario to be inside. You need to create that scenario. That the John over your life, have you treated that John in a way that he's fighting God? I say, God, friend, there are people I pray for like that. There are some I pray for. I say, God, bless them. Bless them. Even though you know you are not meant to bless them, but God bless them. You say I should walk in love, Abby. Bless them. But God knows in my heart, I'm saying, but I will not say that. God bless them. Bless. You say I should not curse. Bless them, or I've blessed them. But this was not the case of Gaius. What did Gaius touch in the heart of John? That John is saying, God, I wish. And if you think this is not true, it's consistent in scripture. When they were going to release the patriarchal blessing from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob. Jacob was going to bless, but Jacob says them. Isaac was going to bless, but Isaac said there has to be a scenario. There has to be an emotion attached to it for there to be a release. He says, I suspect it's time to bless, but the emotion is not ripe enough. So let's go get venison. Am I preaching here? Let's create the emotion that can cause the release of blessing. Listen, your God is emotional. Your God is emotional. Your God has emotion. There was a day Solomon was slaying cows. And he began to slay cows and slay cows, and God visited him because he said, Otikoju. He said, Solomon, what do you want? He said, give me wisdom. He said, well, stop this spiritual. But the wisdom, my bushufue. Because he touched the heart of God. So don't quote that scripture. Create that scenario. Listen. I don't know what Daddy Freeze will tell you, but listen to the one me I will tell you. The same that descended
The same that ascended fell of all descendants. When he descended, he ascended. He looked at the whole world. And he was going to give the whole earth gifts. And this God, in his brilliance, in all his, his spirituality, the best thing he could think about is to give men as gifts. He says, he looked at men from heaven. He said, what is the best thing I can give men? He gave them men. And he put them in offices. So it means that the best treasure of God are men. The ones he has put in offices. God hears them. Friends, they are precious to God. God hears them. You need to find out how to... Sit down, my dear sister, please. Please, you are blessing me. You are blessing me too much. I feel like falling down. You are blessing me. I will just, if you do it again, I will fall down the anointing. Are we together, friends? He gave men as gifts. And it is one of those men that he gave that now looked at Gaius. How can an apostle look at Gaius? He wasn't praying. He was wishing. He was from a deeper. He said, God, bless Gaius. If you truly called me, bless Gaius. If you don't bless anybody, bless Gaius. I wish that Gaius prosper. And he go go to say, Gaius. Gaius' health must be okay. Who is saying that about you? Now, if you say, me and God one-on-one, it's a lie. You say, me and God, we know how we do it. It's a lie. Listen, your relationship with God is proven and tested by your relationship with men. It says, if you say you love God, that you can, if you don't love men that you can see, how can you say you love God that you cannot see? If I want to find out whether you are humble to God, I will check if you are humble to men. If I want to check whether you honor God, I want to check whether you honor men. Are we here, friends? Now, if you think this is just a general statement, you are not thinking perfectly. Because when we keep reading further, when you get to verse 9, this is what you must avoid, and I'm running off on this note. I wrote unto the church, but, somebody say, but. This is Apostle John. But, Diotrephes, I wrote unto the church, but, Diotrephes. How can an apostle write unto a church and your introduction to that line is a but? Why are you not in alignment to John's letter? I wrote to Diotrephes, but. Friends, you must be afraid of this posture. That whenever the pastor says something, you are always a but. Don't forget that this book we are calling Bible, especially the New Testament, when it was happening, they didn't plan it to be Bible. So these are real ministries. It is what is happening in Harvest World. If God likes, he can compile another Bible. He can compile another Bible and say, Prophet Chaffee said this, but... Why is, I don't believe in that idea of pastor is, you know, pastor needs to, I don't know, pastor needs to, I don't know, there's a way pastor needs to learn some things, you know. It's well, Sha, let's be praying for him. Let's pray for him. You know, the way spiritual people gossip is prayer group. Yeah. When spiritual people want to gossip, they gossip with a prayer group. I said, please, we need to pray for pastor. We need this is an emergency. We need to be praying for pastor. In my own church, it's a law. Nobody prays. No group prays for pastor. No. The people that know, no. Don't pray. Leave me. Aside from general prayer, no group. Because it's usually a house of gossip. Because you can't gossip pastor, obviously. Let me pray for pastor. Can we ask God to give pastor wisdom? Can we ask him that he will not just do anyhow? He will not do as he wills. That the wisdom will now start flowing in his ministry. Let us pray that pastor will know how to talk. That the Lord will give him the, you see, Bible talks about you have made my, like the pen of a ready writer. He said, can we pray that pastor will be saying the right things? It will not be misfiring. He said, oh, pastor should not misfire in the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor should not misfire in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, give pastor wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? But John wrote a letter. See, whenever you are in the house of God, don't be the but. Don't be the but. Don't be the but. You have to fight not to be the but. It's very natural to be the but, because you are not a robot. You also think. Don't be the but. He said, but the other phrase, who loves to have preeminence among them, among the brothers, the brethren, he received us not. Why? Because he likes to have preeminence. Friends, you have to fight against this one. In fact, this is actually, if you want to term anything I've said as the word of the Lord, this is this one. I've just started saying what is the word of the Lord. Preeminence amongst the brethren. And there are two things that makes you have preeminence. There are plenty. But two I would just brush. The first one sometimes is money. Money can be a tool of preeminence. In other cases, it is spirituality. Are you together with me? Spirituality. You can want preeminence on the basis of spirituality. Friends, spirituality, are you together with me? Don't forget, the premise of what we are talking about is unity. What God tells you, what God gives you, is not enough basis to cause disunity. Because sometimes on those bases, we feel justified. That because you think you are fighting for God, that this is how the Lord wants. No. Spirituality is not a basis or a justification for disunity. How I know somebody has truly heard God is that his anger is not much when his opinion is not taken. If you truly heard God, you won't force your opinion. Whenever you bring your dust here, the Lord, and we don't take it, and your face change. I know it's dust here. What's your name? Maybe Shubola or whatever your name is. It's not the Lord. When you are angry because your spiritual opinion was not taken, you didn't get it from God. Because the wisdom of God is first of all peaceable. First. The first test of God's wisdom is peaceable. That is to say, if my opinion is not taken, I'll be still willing to support whatever opinion is running with the whole of my heart. And that's why people who cause disunity always do it on the premise of fake spirituality. Say, so, the Lord, is well. Let's be praying. I say, Pastor, brother, why are you angry? What happened? Why are you angry? He got tell more. Who could you tell more, Lord? He got tell more. It's well. It's the Lord. And I told them what the Lord said, but well, they don't want to do whatever they want to do, but I will just stay with the Lord. When Paul was analyzing them, he said some said we are of Paul, others say we are of Apollos, some say we are of Cephas. Those three groups, they are the easiest. The fourth one, the toughest. They said we are of Christ. One said I'm of Paul, another said I'm of Apollos, one said I'm of Christ. I don't follow man. Me, I don't follow man. I follow Christ. I'm Christ. Anything the Lord says I should do, that's what I will do. The Lord says I should just leave them to do their thing. I just focus on Christ. Is Christ divided? The proof that you are from Christ is that you will join the group. If you are from Christ, you will keep quiet. If you are from Christ, you will follow the body. You can't be of Christ and leave the body. It's the body of Christ. Christ. In the book of Revelation, all the churches just had issue with, it was in their midst. How come you, when you have issue, you leave? All the churches, the seven churches, is the candlestick in the midst of all those churches. Your own candlestick, immediately you are not happy, your candlestick will leave. So you are not of Christ, you are of the devil. I know my message is not sweet today. No, I finished preaching. Nothing more. I've said what I meant to say. Thank you for the privilege. You are blessed.